Amen. Thank you for those songs. Well, Merry Christmas. Great to see you this morning. We have been doing, for the last couple weeks, this at Christmas, at High Point here, the Psalms of Christmas. And though it was cut short a little bit because of the weather a few weeks ago, we're going to pick it back up, and the understanding of why these psalms, these songs, are important and draw us to Jesus this morning. Just as a reminder, again, there are 25 songs, referencing the future Messiah that you read in your Old Testament. They speak of Jesus. And in those 25 psalms that you will read, maybe in the quarterly plan, as you read maybe a psalm a day, you will read in those 25 psalms over 70 references that are fulfilled by Jesus Christ. These messianic verses. I want you to remember in 2026, as you read through God's word, like I said, maybe a psalm a day, that you are reading the fulfillment of God's plan through his son, Jesus Christ. And you can celebrate Christmas all year long. I want to unpack Psalm 2 this morning for our Christmas message. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 2 or look up on the screen and follow along with me. As David writes by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in Psalm 2 he says, "Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth have set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise and be warned. O rulers of the earth, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Warren Wiersbe, in his commentary on Psalm 2, says there are voices that we need to listen to. The question is, which voices are you listening to? In the world of noise, it would be wise of us to find a discerning voice that can break through the noise. Psalm 2, circle it. Highlight it. Write it in your notes. David writes who the true voice you need to be listening to. Spoiler, it's God's. In this psalm, we get a picture of the three persons of the Trinity speaking to us. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God, three in one. The only true voice we need to hear. The only voice we need. So let's unpack this morning. The first voice that we can hear is the voice from the world, and it is a voice of resistance. Is this the voice you're listening to? Look at verses 1 and 3, 1 through 3 again with me. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth have set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Here's what they're saying. Here's their voices. Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away the cords from us. The world loves the world. I'm sorry. The world loves the word resistance. Because we don't like authority. Nobody can tell us anything. This voice is very loud, isn't it? It's in the hands as we scroll. Voices telling us, resist! Resist God! We listen because the root of this voice is our pride and sin. This voice is what we are listening to when we're not listening to God. Look at verses 1 through 3 again. Look at them. These voices, they're against God and against his anointed. Verse 3 says, they burst their bonds apart, cast away the cords from us. The idea is this voice says there is freedom from not doing what God says. Freedom is doing what you want to do. Freedom is believing what you want to believe. You are your own boss. We are all tempted to listen to this voice. Adam and Eve listened to this voice. And it came in the temptation of Satan. Remind yourself of Genesis chapter 3. The serpent was more crafty than any beast in the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, look, listen to the voice. Did God actually say, shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Did God actually say? And by the way, this temptation is still working today. We have God's word telling us the truths about salvation and what it means to follow him once we are saved. But we often take our own views. Our own beliefs. And they don't consign with the Word of God. Why do we listen to this voice? Well, Genesis 3 again reminds us why we listen to it. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was a delight to her eyes, and the tree was desired to make one wise. They listened to the voice and they resisted God's word. Psalm 2 is pointing us back to Genesis chapter 3. And the reason why God had to send his son. Romans chapter 5 verse 17, Paul articulates this. For if because of one man's transgression, Adam and Eve, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Where Adam and Eve brought us a life of sin, Jesus would bridge the gap between us and him by taking our sin on the cross. But I'm getting ahead of myself. The first voice we can listen to is the voice of resistance. The voice of sin. The voice of this world is a daily battle. Let's move to the next voice that we can hear, and it is the voice of God. It's the voice of God the Father. Look at verses 4 through 6. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision, and then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on thy holy hill. Psalm 2 says, God is laughing. The idea here is he is laughing at those who are shaking their fist at God. The people in verses 1 through 3. The people that are saying they don't need God. They want freedom from God. He laughs because they don't think they need him. They want freedom from God. But God knows this only brings slavery. Someone once said, the purpose in life is not to find our freedom. The purpose in life is to find our master. Real freedom isn't freedom from God and what he says. Real freedom is trusting God and what he says. Paul said it this way in Galatians chapter 5. He says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For most of my life, I lived with an understanding that what real freedom was, doing whatever I wanted. And I know my mom's here, and she probably gets really sad when I say this, and it's not her fault. But I did a lot of partying, drinking, and drugs, and sexual sin, and all these different things. And again, not to embarrass you, Mom, it's not your fault. It's all my desires, my wants. And I thought that was freedom. It wasn't until November 2nd, 2001, that I came to an understanding by the grace of God that this is sin. And I needed to put my faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross to find true freedom. God is laughing like a parent laughs when your kids tell you something that you know isn't true. From our experience and from our wisdom, we try to explain it to our kids. But they already know, right? We love them. And sometimes they'll have to learn the hard way. That's the idea of God's laughter. He knows that some of us have to walk through this. Look at verse 6 again. God the Father's laughing because his kingdom is secure. The kings of the earth, found in verses 2, will not change what God has already planned. God the Father's plan is set. He is going to establish his son as the true king. The child will be born of a virgin. He will be the king that we must listen to. The angel told us about this king at Jesus' birth. Look at Luke 1. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born, will be called holy, for he is the Son of God. Again, the angels in chapter 2 would say this to the shepherds. He said, the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, Messiah, anointed one, who is Christ the Lord. God the Father laughs because there is nothing that was going to stop his plans. No voice is louder than God's voice. God the Father and his voice is what we need to hear. Which brings me to the next voice we need to hear, and that's the voice of the Son of God. We know him. His name is Jesus. Look at verses 7 through 9 with me. I will tell of the decree. It's like Jesus is talking back to God the Father. It's like there's this conversation going on. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them into pieces like a potter's vessel. We know this is the voice of the Lord Jesus because it's quoted, this very verse is quoted in Acts chapter 13 in reference to Jesus. In Acts 13, Luke writes, and we bring you the good news that what God promised to the fathers, this is fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus. As also it is written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. God's Messiah in Psalms chapter 2, verses 7, 9, is responding to the resistance of the people. So God the Father responded to the resistance of 1 through 3, the people who are resisting God. Now the Son is responding to the people who are resisting him. Look at verse 7 again. Notice, I will tell them decrees. Notice that Jesus speaks by decrees. A decree is an official order given by someone who has the legal authority to do so. What Jesus says, you can take it to the bank. The Son of God's voice needs to be listened to very carefully. God's word says that Jesus will defeat our enemies. Sin, Satan, and death. Is that true? Look at verse 9. Jesus, you shall break them with the rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Jesus, and only Jesus, can defeat these enemies. Is that true? Jesus himself said this in John 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Is he telling the truth? Is there another way? You mean we can't get to heaven by being good? My church attendance? Being raised in a Christian family? Being baptized? Confirmed? You're telling me he's the only way Well, that's what he says. We have to trust what Jesus says. He's making a decree for you personally, individually, to hear his voice. This is why he came, by the way. Over 2,000 years ago, in the town of Bethlehem, born of a virgin, God is giving us an official decree through his son, the Messiah. God is the legal authority, and he is telling us that Jesus is the king. Psalm 2 is telling us that Jesus is the king, and you gotta listen to his voice. Jesus can break the strongholds of sin in our lives. He knows everything about us, and he was willing to die for us. Listen to his voice. I love Mark chapter 2. Jesus said this when he was teaching with the religious leaders, the Pharisees. They saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners. And they asked his disciples, why does he eat with such scum? When Jesus heard this, he told them, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. And I have come to call those who don't think they are righteous. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Is that true? Because I got to think some of you think you're going to heaven because you're better than your neighbor. Jesus says we're all in the same boat. And we all need rescue. Jesus also said to the person who's now feeling the weight of their sin, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Is this true? Jesus said it. Will you listen to him? You don't come to Jesus with your demands. You come to him with your sin. And he takes it for you on the cross. When Jesus saves you and then tells you what you need to do to walk with him in faith on a day-to-day basis, we continue to listen to him. So let's listen to the last voice. We have the voice of resistance. We have the voice of the Father, the voice of the Son, and now we see a picture of the voice of the Holy Spirit. Look at verses 10 through 12 with me. Now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned. O rulers of the air, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled, and blessed are those who take refuge in him. Yeah, we have, as Warren Wiersbe, we have the whole Trinity represented in Psalm 2. Verses 10 through 12 are asking us to make a decision. Which voice are you going to listen to? The voice of resistance or the voice of God? The Holy Spirit's job is to lead you to that decision. He leads you to make that decision. He opens your eyes to the truth of what God says and what the world says. The Holy Spirit of God has a clear voice, and we are to listen so that we can make the right decision. John spoke of this in John chapter 16. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage," Jesus is saying, "that I go away." Why? "For if I don't go away, the paraclete, the helper, the Holy Spirit, won't come. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he," the Holy Spirit, "comes, he will do what? He will convict you of the very voices you're listening to. He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." And then go on to verse 13. "When the Spirit of the Lord comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare it to you, the things that are to come." The voices of this world, the voices of resistance, or the voice of God. That's your choice. The Holy Spirit brings you to an understanding of a conviction of sin. What are you going to do with it? "Oh, I'm going to clean myself up so then God will be approved of me." No. God's word says when you are convicted of your sins, go to the one who died for them and put your trust in his work on the cross. The Holy Spirit of God reveals this truth to us. This isn't something we conjure up because we're smart. The Bible says there are none righteous. No, not one. No one seeks after God. These closing verses are an appeal from the Holy Spirit of God to make a decision about Jesus the Messiah. Some of you for salvation, some of you for a day-to-day surrender. Look, he appeals to the mind. Verse 10 again. Be wise. Be instructed. If Jesus says who he says he is, search it out. You want to know if you're living a life pleasing to God? Search it out from God's word. That's where real wisdom comes. Look, he appeals to the heart. Verse 11, serve the Lord. The idea here is instead of verses 1 through 3, which is serve sin, he's saying, the Holy Spirit says, serve the Lord. Instead of resisting God, submit to him. Submit to his authority, saying, "God, I want you to work in my life." That's freedom. And by the way, that's a daily surrender. We need to bow to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So he appeals to the mind, he appeals to the heart, but he appeals to that decision, the will. He says, kiss the Son. The idea here is pay homage to him. Surrender to this Messiah Jesus. By the way, you don't kiss somebody unless you love them. A kiss carries the meaning of worship. Whom do you kiss? That's a rhetorical question. Look at 1 Kings. God speaking to Elijah said, "Yet I will preserve 7,000 others in Israel who have never bowed down to Baal or kissed the hem." You ever read that? The idea is they didn't worship the world. There's another story of a kiss. Look at Luke chapter 7 with me. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. Have you been reconciled to the Son of God? Do you worship him? The Holy Spirit is leading us to make a decision. Kiss the Son. Pay homage to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible is very clear. The voice of God is clear. If you don't put your trust in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, you will perish. Go back to the verses. Verse 12. You will perish. The wrath of God will be upon you because you didn't receive the greatest gift ever given. You rejected his gift. Christmas is all about gifts. God gave us his only Son. To not receive him alone is to reject the gift. If you have received this gift, verse 12 tells us we're blessed. And are we not? Warren Wiersbe asked the question regarding Psalm 2. He says, which voice are you listening to? Who has your ear? Who gets your ear on a daily basis? The world or God? If God's, then what he's telling you in his word is the truth. So submit. If you find yourself listening to the world's noise too much, can I have a suggestion for you for application? Turn it off. Maybe consider a fast from social media. The time you spend on reels, spend studying God's word. God wants you to hear his voice. And the world is screaming for you to listen to his. The choice is yours. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, I thank you for the reminder in Psalm 2 to listen to your voice and your voice alone. And Lord, I know in the room like this, people have come and many know you, but without a doubt, there are certain people that are here that you have brought to hear the truth. It's not their church attendance. It's not their good works. They needed to hear the truth that they're sinners and that Jesus died for them. and he rose from the dead. I would pray, God, through the work of the Holy Spirit, as you've revealed that truth to them this morning, that they would truly put their faith and trust in you today. And today would be the day of their salvation. And Christmas would have a whole new meaning. To those of us who do know you, who have trusted you, help us to hear your voice through your word on a day-to-day basis. For it's in your name I pray, and all God's people said, let's stand and sing a final song.